And now for reading and writing and radio.
Dear Nancy Hunt, our class would like to take the opportunity to express our gratitude for the fun and educational experiences we had at the Jamboree. The visit to the archives was a great experience. We had never seen anything like that before. Laminating the old papers onto the new was interesting. Our whole class was fascinated with the books of school records from the 1800s. We were interested, too, in learning about preserving documents by putting them in acid-free folders and about the harm of metal boxes to documents. We liked seeing the political voting records that showed only 3 women voting as opposed to 187 men. We also liked seeing Abraham Lincoln's name on the books. We thank both people who explained it all to us. It was educational, interesting, and fun.
That thank you letter is from Mrs. Hope's last year's reading class from Memorial School in Taylorville, with 24 signatures from Rachel Walters to Shantae Van Hoosier. But it could be from your class come this year's Jamboree.
WSSR Radio at Sangamon State University presents Reading and Writing and Radio, a program about creative writing. Your host is Jacqueline Jackson, children's author and professor of literature at Sangamon State University.
Last year at Reading and Writing and Radio's first Jamboree at Sangamon State, we gave each class a campus activity. Some went to the observatory, some went to the radio station, some to the biology lab or the ceramic studio or the computers, and several groups went to the archives in the basement of the library. Archives? I can imagine them saying when they heard what their activity was to be, "Archives? What's that?" And then their teachers probably told them that archives were records of things in the past, sort of like a museum, but without any mummies or stone axes or shrunken heads. Records, musty, dusty old pieces of yellowing paper. How can an archives be interesting? How can an archives be any fun? Well, let's hear from a few of the kids who were there last year. I'm hopping over to Taylorville with my 7-league boots, my tape recorder, and here are some 6th graders who were in Mrs. Hope's 5th grade at Memorial School last spring. Well, Rachel Walters, would you tell me what you thought about going to the archives?
Well, I wasn't real sure exactly what the archives was, and so I wasn't really looking forward to it. I thought it'd be probably pretty boring.
Mm-hmm. And how about you, Trisha Prynne.
Well, I figured it would be just a bunch of books and papers and stuff.
So you weren't anticipating it either.
No.
And here we have Lisa Brown.
I thought it was going to be real boring. I didn't want to go at all.
Okay, and we have the teacher, Pam Hope, and she's written down a word or two. How about hearing from Pam?
Well, when my group was told that our special trip was to the archives, they were devastated. I tried to build up the trip by explaining that the archives was a record of real history, not just textbook history. The students looked forward to that treat about as much as they'd anticipate some form of punishment. However, all the students emerged from that room excited and wishing they could stay longer.
Okay, and I see that you've brought along pieces of paper, and which is writing about what you thought about the archives once you were there. So let's hear from Rachel again.
Well, I remember seeing records of elections. It showed who was running for various offices and who voted for them. Even before women could even vote, they were allowed to vote in small, unimportant elections. It also showed some textbooks from schools. The books didn't have any colored pictures, and the print was very small. They looked terribly boring. There were ledgers that showed the numbers of students and things about the classroom. They also told about the teacher.
Okay, and now let's hear from Tricia.
I liked the archives. It was an interesting room. I liked the maps of the cities, especially Springfield. The voting records were neat. We got to see where Abraham Lincoln voted for himself.
Voted for himself. Good. Okay.
The people that presented the archives to us even showed us how to make old paper look like new paper. I really had fun.
Okay, thank you, Tricia. And here is Lisa's composition.
The thing that interested me most about the archives room was the big books that had the school inspections in it, and the inspector wrote down all the things that were good and bad about the school and the name of it, of the school. I also liked the old maps with all the different places on them. They used to keep the maps in metal boxes so the air and bugs would not get to them and make them fall apart. Now they are talking about keeping them in special folders with some kind of special formula in them, and it will keep the papers from deteriorating better than the metal boxes. They also had books with elections in them. The books showed who was running and who voted for them and things like that. It was really interesting and fun.
Okay, thank you. And now let's hear from Pam, who's got a wrap-up here from the point of view of the teacher.
Well, I, as a teacher, like the school records. I'm really glad that in today's classroom I don't have to be a janitor, a teacher, and a person in charge of a coal heating stove. The inspectors would talk about Miss So-and-so didn't smile all day, or Miss So-and-so didn't keep the room clean enough, and I was interested in the comments, some of which were favorable and many of which were negative. And it also thrilled me to see Abraham Lincoln's real signature.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Do you have something there on the back?
I thought that the presenters had gone to quite a great deal of trouble to find things that would interest the children. They had taken a variety of items and brought them out for this age group. And I feel that the children really did obtain a lot of information. They enjoyed it. They learned from it. And they know now that an archive's not just a boring old room with lots of papers.
And you as a teacher enjoyed it too.
I certainly did.
Okay, well, thank you, Lisa and Rachel and Tricia and Pam Hope, the teacher. Back here at Sangamon State, I have with me Nancy Hunt, who is in charge of the archives, and two bright and lively young women whose father, Martin, teaches on the faculty, but neither of whom have ever visited the archives or even knew that the university held such a spot. Clara Jekyll, will you tell us your age in school?
I am 10 years old and a fifth grader at Isles School.
And your sister is Anna Jekyll. How about you?
I'm 13 and I'm an eighth grader at Franklin Middle School.
Okay, now Nancy, I'm going to let you take over and with Clara and Anna explore the archives on the air for all our kids listening in.
Okay, thanks. I brought along a couple samples of records from the archives today, and we're going to start with some school records and look at them and see what we can figure out about what they tell us about the past, about the people who lived in the past, and what schools were like. Okay, and we're going to start with the first one, and I'm going to have you help me read it. Let's start by an important thing, and that's the date. Can you read that date there? It's kind of hard to read scripts.
It's 1841, I would think.
Right, and what do we have here? A list of?
The students.
Right. What word did they use back there for students? Can you read that word? Can you read that, Anna?
Scholars.
Scholars. Let's open this up and see how different it looks from an attendance record today.
Oh, they put the different dates and numbers instead of...
And here are all the students again.
Right. There's all the students. And then what's going along here up at the top?
The dates.
And can you tell what those symbols mean?
Absent.
Absent. Can you make out that other letter? It's a P, if you can believe it. The other letter's a P. That's right.
Looks almost like an O sometimes.
That's right, and it's an attendance record. And then what do they do here?
They show the number of days that you're present.
The number of days. And what is this? Look at the net list of the names here. We go down, and what are the names? Smithson, Hosinger, McLaughlin, Shrike, shrike, shrike. What does that tell you about what schools were like back then, that all these students have the same last name?
I would suppose that they had...
Get closer to the mic, honey.
Here.
I would suppose that it's a one-room schoolhouse and that all the students were in one class.
That's right.
Why do you suppose that, though?
Because otherwise you wouldn't have that many triplets or twins. So that they would be in the same grade.
Right, so you've got lots of brothers and sisters.
Right, in the same class. That's exactly right. And let's look at one more thing while we're here. This is a common school schedule from April to October of one year, and they add up all the days that all the students were there, and the teacher's salary is based on those number of days that the students were there. And so the total number of days that all the students came during that period was how many?
2,594.
Right. And then how much money did the teacher make? For that period, that's about a six-month period. Can you read that number?
$79.
And 81 and a half cents.
$79 and 81 and a half cents.
Tells you something, doesn't it, about how times have changed. Okay, we're going to go from that to a different school record. And this one is from what period of time?
December 7th, 1886.
Right, the 1880s. And this is also from Scott County, and it's a county record that comes to the archives through our Illinois Regional Archives Depository System. And I want you to take a look at this and see if we can figure out what this record is. What's it called, Clara?
Memorandum.
Up here.
Record of visitation.
Read good and loud, because you're pretty far from the mic. Record of visitation.
Record of visitation of schools by N. R. Smithson.
Who was?
The county superintendent of Scott County, Illinois.
Right.
Hey, Smithson, Smithson was the last name of some of the students.
That's right.
He must have been their father.
It could be, or a relative. And then what kinds of things are they interested in here? What are the different categories of information they're writing down? Can you read that?
The condition of the house.
House.
The apparatus, the kind and condition. The condition of the grounds and outbuildings. Studies. Books. Used and the authors, and then some remarks about each school.
That's right. Let's just go through here, Anna, and maybe you can read something from the condition of this house for us. This is...
By a house, do they mean the school building?
They would mean the school building. That would be the house.
All right.
Can you read that?
The house is in good condition.
Furnished
with clumsy, uncomfortable seats. House well lighted and... plenty of blackboard surface.
Right. And then here under apparatus, just down here, read this one thing that they have
Webster's
there.
Webster's Unabridged Dictionary.
Right. How about over here for the remarks? Let's skip over to there.
The attendance at this school is irregular. The teacher's methods are good, but his discipline bad. There being too much confusion.
Right. Let's just skip over a couple pages and see if we can get a sense of other kinds of things. Under apparatus, what do they have here in the school? Can you read that, Clara?
6-inch globe.
Globe. Here's another dictionary. Here's an encyclopedia. That's about all they had in schools back then. They didn't have all the kind of fancy equipment that you might have in your schools today. They were pretty limited, weren't they, compared to what you have in a school today?
I would think so.
Doesn't seem to be a whole lot of books either.
No. Let's look at the books. There's some, they put them under different topics, orthography, reading, writing, grammar, geography, and they list, but the most they have really is one book for each category, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is this now Sangamon County or Springfield?
This is Scott County.
Scott County.
Which is a little bit south and west of Sangamon. It gives you a tiny sense of what schools were like back then. And on the, I didn't show you here, on this side, again, there's information on the salary of teacher, the number of pupils,
$4,000.
And the average daily attendance. And you can see there's a big absence. There were 35 pupils on the roll for this class, and only 18 were in school the day that the superintendent came.
Why do you suppose? Clara, got any ideas why there might have been so much absenteeism back then?
Well, it says here, I can see on some of them it says January And I think that that's the winter season, and since back then it was probably a long way to school, they probably, when they had bad colds, they didn't come, and in the winter they didn't have any real heating or things.
Mm-hmm. Also, it was probably a very long way, and sometimes when the snow was very high, they couldn't go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they wouldn't need the snowplows.
They might have become very sick because there weren't that many medicines.
Mm-hmm. Also, perhaps the fact that probably most of these kids' parents were farmers, and that was the way people made their livings, and certainly not in January, but in other seasons of the year, they would be helping with the harvest and helping to plant crops, and they wouldn't go to school on those days. In this common school schedule, I noticed that for a few months, the students were in school on Saturdays. So the schedule wasn't always Monday to Friday like it was for us. Okay, I'm going to put this aside, and I'm going to bring out some family papers.
Well, you say you're bringing out some family papers. Are you sure that we should look at these, or would we be intruding on somebody's privacy?
That's a good question, but with these papers I'm going to show you here, they're ones that have been donated to the archives, and they're not really of a private nature. It's a some photographs and a scrapbook, so it's not something like personal letters that in where there might be a case of privacy and that might be something we'd need to worry about. But in this case, it's things that aren't so private that we can't show them and talk about them and that people can't see them in the archives. This is a group, it's just a selection of photographs that came from what's called the Booth-Grunendijk family papers in the archives. And the Booths and the Grunendijks were two families in Springfield. And most of these date from the 19th century. And I think you can get a tiny sense from them if you talk about some of the things you see about
on the back of this one,
what their lives were like.
Dredge boat on Mississippi River at Hannibal, Missouri.
Yeah.
I'm noticing that you've laminated these in some way. How is this?
This is actually not lamination. It's called, we've put them in what are called Mylar sleeves, and it's a way of protecting them so that we don't put our fingerprints on them and mishandle them, and it keeps them separate from all the other photographs that are there. But we do various techniques in the archives to preserve things and take care of them so that they'll be around for future generations.
Here's a picture of some boys with guns. I suppose that was in some war. I wouldn't like to be one of those people.
This is from the Spanish-American War, and that's in Springfield. Some of the soldiers who were here in training are...
Want to go on with your scrapbook?
Yeah, let's go on with the scrapbook. Whoops. This is a family scrapbook, also from the Booth-Grunendijk family, and this will give you another sense of the kind of things that a family might keep. Here, I said it was the Booth collection, and you can see that there's clippings about the Booths, and that someone in the Booth family obviously kept this and took good care to put in various clippings, and I'm sure many of you will find that you have family papers like this at home.
Here's an interesting one. It says, Made Lincoln's Wedding Shirt. This is Anna Seaman, who made Lincoln's wedding shirt when he was married to Mary Todd, was buried yesterday afternoon in this city.
It's a little Coney-Anna for you. Yeah.
They have other people's last names on some of these headings. Is there
a maybe it's about their friends
Otto
or
Reynolds.
People they knew. It's one thing that you have to sort of figure out. Every document you look at is sort of a puzzle, and you have to figure out why was this created this way and what does it mean? And scrapbooks are even harder because one person assembled these things, and you have to ask, why did they choose these things to put here?
Here it says, it has Noy, I suppose. That's Illinois State Register. I wonder why that's there.
That's because the Illinois State Journal Register.
That's from the newspaper it came out of.
There were two. Yeah. There were two ones there. There was the
Decatur Herald. Here's a poem.
Yeah, this you find that very often that people will cut out poems that.
Dr. Rachel T. Lindsay died.
Right. Now that was a big event in Springfield, and these people knew when Lindsay died.
That would have been his father, wouldn't it have been? Rachel T.,
yeah, you're right, Jackie.
One of city's well-known physicians succumbs to complications.
Right, and well-known physicians, that would be the father.
Here's a picture of him.
Here again we have some family things, Amasa Booth, 89.
Here, they have two pictures of him.
Yeah.
Both the pictures seem to be outlined in some way.
Back to these pictures, I see a little dollhouse here, and it looks very intricate, and I would think, since they were farmers and made a lot of their own things, maybe this was homemade, do you think?
That could be. What about the interiors, too, from the house? What does that tell you about the family and probably how they lived? Does it give you an impression of their lives?
I feel they're probably very rich people, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of money and very fancy things.
Here are some fancy things you can see of carpet. Hey, this picture is of the Indians, and it has a picture of a woman, and the woman has long skirts. So it must have been quite a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Here we sort see.
You know,
outdated.
We could go on and on, but we could probably spend hours looking at all this stuff. Days, weeks.
That's for sure.
But we're on the air, and our time is limited, and so, Nancy, do you have some words that you want to tell kids and about family records, or tell Anna and Clara and all of us?
I encourage you to look at them and try to find them and try to take care of them. One thing you can do is when people are still around who are alive and can tell you about them is to take notes about them. If you come across a photograph, your parents might know, but you'll forget over time. So take a little note on the back in pencil and get the date and get who was there because you'll forget. And then take care of them. Be sure only to use pencil. Keep them in safe places, in the dark. The things that hurt documents are air and dust. If you put them in a box and keep them in the dark and keep them in a fairly cool environment, that'll keep them in good shape. And enjoy them. That's the important thing.
Well, thanks a lot, Nancy and Clara and Anna Jekyll. And I'm going to end this program by donning the 7-league boots and hopping to Taylorville once again to have just a few words with Ann Linvall, who's a third grade teacher at South School, and then to give you some writing suggestions. Anne, what claim do you have to be on this archives program?
In doing my family research, I found this story that Ron Linvall, my husband's dad, wrote to us. He said when his mother, Olga, was to come to the U.S. with her mom, her grandmother, who was old, said, "Before you get to the United States, I'll be dead."
Now, so you're reading this from a
This from is a from letter. A letter that Ron's dad wrote to us.
Okay, go ahead.
When they got to the pier in Sweden to get on the boat to come to the United States, they were notified that grandmother had died, so they returned to their home in Sweden. The boat that they were to come to the United States on burned at sea, and everyone died.
Boy, that's sort of a prophecy, isn't it?
So if
her death saved them,
we wouldn't be here unless she had gone back home in Sweden.
Okay, go ahead.
And in Sweden, they had a tradition of placing the corpse, the dead body, in a sheep shed for 2 weeks, because in those days they wanted to make sure they really were dead. There was much talk among people about corpses being found in graves that had come alive. Olga, who said a white horse had worked all day and was very thirsty on their farm there in Sweden, but it refused to go to the water tank to drink because it was near the sheep shed, and even whipping the horse did no good. It would in no way go near that corpse. Olga said that night that they got home from not leaving on the ship for the United States, and the grandmother who had died was placed in the sheep shed. It was dark, and they were all back in the house at supper when a knock was heard at the door. Now, in Sweden in those times, no one knocked at the doors. People just came in. So the uncle did say, "Come in." No one entered. He went over to the door. No one was there. A second time, a knock came. Again, no one was there. Olga, who of course is Ron's grandmother, said she was scared and crawled under the table. The third time, there was a loud knock at the door. Her uncle got mad and swore, "You come in here." But after he swore, the knock never came again. And I think it was their belief that it was the ghost of this dead grandmother who was in the shed.
Yes.
And it was her ghost.
Well, what fascinating material you found in your family papers.
And another one that we found from my side of the family, which was the Nelson side of the family, of my father's, and on my mother's side, the Wildenrod side. I never realized that there was a link in this family history. My grandfather Wildenrod was an apprentice carpenter on the continent in Europe, and at that time he worked as an apprentice helping to build the Eiffel Tower in Paris. I just also found out at that same time from the United States, my grandfather Nelson was the first dairy farmer in the United States, and he had a dairy farm in DeKalb, the northern part of Illinois, had sent fresh milk to Paris for the exposition. People were aghast that he could get milk from the United States to Paris and not have it soured. It was 17 days in getting to Paris. It was kept sweet, in other words, it didn't sour, until the 21st day. They had shipped it from the farm by express to New York. It was then placed in a refrigerator and put on board an ocean vessel to go to Paris. The chemists that were there at the Paris Exposition thought that these farmers surely had put some kind of a chemical in the milk to keep it fresh. But it was a special process that Grandpa had developed, and I found there a linkage between my mother's side of the family and my father's side.
Well, I find that especially interesting, having come from a dairy farm myself, where my dad would give prizes to people that could see how long they could keep their milk fresh. Anne, what are you doing with all these fascinating family papers that you have found in your archives?
Well, I have put them together with the original letters that I got from people into kind of a document, and am saving that as a family treasure to pass down to our children and grandchildren. I also now have started on a new project, which is to assemble a family heirloom cookbook, in which you take family favorite recipes and try to get them in the original writing of the person that developed them. And again, trace your family history through food.
Well, thanks so much, Anne. And kids, here are your writing suggestions, and I bet that you can guess. What are your family records? Are there old photo albums, old letters, dates in family Bibles? How about your dad's report card, newspaper clippings, diaries? Did your folks manage to keep a baby book on you? What are the personal records that you've stashed away for your own children to see someday? The certificate that you got for the Jump for Heart Marathon, your baptism card, your first communion card, your young author's book, letters and cards from Grandma and Grandpa to you, newspaper clippings on important matters. Write down something interesting from your own family archives. Ask your parents or grandparents where some records are. And while you're asking, I bet your school has a drawer somewhere that constitutes its archives, too. What do you suppose is in that?
WSSR Radio has presented Reading and Writing and Radio. Send your writings to Jacqueline Jackson, Sangamon State University, Springfield, Illinois, 62708.